Are you wandering in the wilderness, or are you a voice in the wilderness? Welcome to the Revival Cry podcast. This is your host, Eric Miller. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The goal of this podcast is to encourage you to use the voice God has given you to make Jesus famous. Every week, we will share principles from the Word of God, interviews, and encouragement in order to strengthen your voice. Thank you for joining me today. And now here is today's podcast. Well, welcome everyone to Revival Cry. I'm your host, Eric Miller, and I'm really excited to share with you the guests that are with me today, Raul and Shelley Hurtado, right? Is that how you say
it? Yeah, that's it.
Correctly? And if you're wondering, who's that big cow in the back? Who is this cow in the back?
Moo.
This is Moo.
Moo. And Moo. And you're an artist as well, right?
I am. I didn't paint this cow.
You painted
I wish
that
I would
flower,
have.
Though.
Ah, okay. But you got the flower right there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you can't see it, you're listening on the podcast or the radio, that's fine. Just to let those of you listening, though, we do have a YouTube channel called Revival Cry, and you can look at that up and almost every message and interview we do on the podcast, and Hope Radio is also on video. But today I've asked Raul and Shelley to join me because I want them to share what I'm going to call overcoming suffering, a COVID survivor's testimony by missionaries Raul and Shelley Hurtado. So, you know, the entire world has been affected by COVID-19 for the last 2 years. And many of you listening, you know, today, you've suffered with COVID personally or knew somebody who did. Maybe you've lost somebody, a family, friend, or loved one of some sort. Maybe you have COVID right now and you're a survivor. In December, you just came home from being in the hospital for 2 months, right?
70 days.
70 days, which is amazing. On a ventilator twice. But I want you to hear this after I share a couple things, what I believe God wants us to have a perception about overcoming suffering. You know, in Proverbs 19:23, it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil." Now, the writer of this proverb is not saying that we will never experience evil. What he is saying, what he's implying, is that when we fear God, that we will not be visited with the same judgment of those who do not fear God and commit their lives to sin, to living the way that they want to with no care or concern about what the Lord thinks. You know, Jesus and Paul even said later that if we want to live godly, we're going to encounter hardship, suffering, persecution for the gospel's sake. But the difference is that if we fear God, we will not be overcome evil, but we will learn how to overcome evil with good. So the word in the Hebrew for satisfaction here is actually called sabaya. It is the same word used in Job 42:17, and this is what it says. It's the last verse of the entire book of Job, 42 chapters, verse 17. "So Job died old and full of days." This is the same Hebrew word in the word "full" as it was satisfaction in Proverbs 19:23. This word "full" in Hebrew means to be satiated or satisfied, like after experiencing a good meal. You know, you just feel satisfied. It also means to be surfeited, to cause someone to not desire something as a result of having consumed or done something in excess. So when Job experienced this persecution, we know that he was a godly man, a godly family, and, you know, Satan even came before God one day, and God said to the devil, you know, have you considered my servant Job? And the enemy said, you know, if you would take away his family and, you know, his livelihood and different things like that, you can read it in the first chapter, that he would curse you. But we know that Job goes through hardship as he's suffering, but never does Job stop fearing the Lord. And at the end of the book of Job, God completely restores him.
Yeah.
You know, I want to introduce Raul and Shelly as their missionaries with Fire International.
That's right.
The same organization as my wife Casey and I. When did you get COVID? You got it last year, the end of last year?
Yeah, around October. Sometime mid-October, beginning to mid-October.
Okay, and so how bad did you have it?
I don't even think I knew I had COVID until I think I started contracting pneumonia.
Okay.
COVID-related pneumonia. So it was around the 13th. We had some guests that had come in from the mainland to Igbalo and to share. And then we had some students that went on a missions trip to California for Hope California. And they had returned. And I was thinking, wow, I wonder, it couldn't have been them because they all got tested. But it had to be before that because I really started feeling bad on the 13th, which was
in the middle of October.
In the middle of October. And, you know, I came home. I felt like I had the flu or something. I came home, started trying to take naps and sleep it off.
Right.
Just work it out. And it just didn't go away.
So you guys are serving as missionaries in Hawaii. Right. People might think, wow, I want to be a missionary in Hawaii.
We're trapped in paradise. It's not what they would think.
It's not what they think when you think of Hawaii, right?
Right.
Where you are is on the Big Island, which is the southernmost island of the United States. The southernmost region of the United States. And they are south of Kona, about an hour and a half.
The southernmost city.
We're the southernmost city in the United States.
Wow. And how would you describe this area?
Rural, agricultural.
Okay.
So there was a lot of cane fields here in the past. A lot of missionaries came here. What's his name? I forget his initials or his first name. Anyway, he came and he went through all over the Big Island and preached the gospel. In fact, he was so impactful on this island that most of the tribes moved to Hilo.
Okay.
Because it would take him a month to go from one tribe to another tribe because they were just so far apart. There were no roads. The lava fields, if you ever get to see them, very barren, treacherous. Rivers, treacherous. You know, you can't just cross some of these rivers.
Right.
You know?
So when people think of Hawaii,
Titus Cone,
where you guys are, is not where most people come to visit.
Well, correct. Not where most people come visit, where we're at
the tourists.
Most are in Kona, north of the island, Hilo. They'll come pass through.
Right.
There's things here they'll come and see. But Nalehu isn't really a destination.
Right.
Like, so, I would Airbnb here and then go out from there.
Right. So there's a lot of even poverty in this area where it seems like a lot of people, we've met many Filipinos who live in this region. You know, they're struggling. It's maybe not poverty like in the Philippines, but still, people are depressed. There's a lot of hopelessness. And so the Lord raised up what you referred to it before, Igbalo's School of Ministry, started through the ministry of Lou Angle. Many of you know the call and the send. And so that a couple we are both know, Rod and Marion Hall, came and pioneered that work here. And and Raul and Shelley came to work with them. So they're working with the students in the School of Ministry, and it's just phenomenal. But for time's sake, you came here to serve the Lord.
Right.
You've been here how many years now? A couple years?
Almost 3 years. October will be 3 years, yeah.
Okay. So you've been serving the community, reaching out. I know you've worked in a local church here, and your hearts are just on fire for Jesus. But then you get COVID. And, you know, as a missionary, we feel like we're doing something for Jesus.
Yeah.
So why are we the ones getting this? But yet, you know, the enemy is no respecter of persons, right? So you not only got COVID, but you did as well.
Yeah.
And so when he goes to the hospital, what's going on with you?
I had COVID when he went to the hospital.
Wow.
So we had it. I started feeling poorly about 4 or 5 days after he did. So we were both, we were both feeling pretty bad.
Wow. And so you were home trying to recover. He's in the hospital.
Taking care of him. Well, I was home taking care of him.
Okay.
And then when we called the ambulance.
So we thought it would blow over.
Yeah.
Right? And so here we are like 9 days later. It's not blowing over. It's getting worse. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I'm just...
His skin turned grayish.
Wow. I was dying, essentially.
Yeah.
She called the 911. They sent the ambulance. And then, so that was the 22nd.
So how far is the hospital from here?
So there's
the first one they took him to was about 20 minutes away.
Okay.
Because they wanted to get him oxygen. They wanted to get...
Fluids
really
in him
figure
and all
out,
that.
Yeah, what really is going on here. And then that doctor called me about an hour and a half after he'd been there. And, you know, a couple of things. He said, one, if you hadn't called the ambulance when you did, he would have died of respiratory failure. And then he said, and two, we have an ambulance coming from Hilo. So that is an hour and a half from our house, that where Hilo is.
So you went to a small hospital, and then they're saying, we got to go to Hilo. And you couldn't even go.
I could not even go.
Wow.
Whether I had COVID or not, I was not able to go.
So in short, you end up in Hilo at the hospital there, and you're there for the next
70 days.
70 days. Yeah. 70 days, folks, in the hospital. And while you're there, you are struggling to breathe, respiratory, all this going on, and you end up on a ventilator.
Yeah, see, I don't even remember any of that.
Wow.
And so I remember the ambulance ride. I remember, you know, just talking to God, Lord, you know I love you, and just whatever, you know. And I remember pulling into the hospital, getting out of the ambulance. I remember them taking me to the emergency room, and then after that, I don't remember anything until the 26th of October, when I think they woke me up and told me, your wife's in the emergency room with COVID.
Wow.
I didn't even know what to think. They gave me my phone, and they were great. These nurses, amazing, right? Just my heart goes out to them. And I texted her, I said, did you call an ambulance? And she said, I did, but I'll be home in an hour and a half.
Wow.
So they took care of her.
They gave me some antibodies.
Okay.
Yeah, they gave me the antibodies.
So you're able to come back.
Yeah, based on how sick he was and how sick they knew he was, they're like, look, you've got to have the antibodies because we don't want you ending up here just like he
with
is.
The same pneumonia and all that. So you're there going on a ventilator twice. You almost died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
a couple times.
You're at the edge of your life, the death's door, and here you are today talking to us. When did you get out of the hospital?
December 30th.
December 30th.
Yeah. They took my trach out on the 29th.
Wow.
And, you know, there was like 6 days of preparation for that I had to... It was kind of stressful. Most people would probably say, oh, well, it was just whatever. So I don't have... Like, I can't go pull these memories into my mind and meditate on them. But they're still, I think, in our soul and in our head. Like if something happens that maybe kind of triggers, it was very stressful for me.
Yeah.
Although going through it and being done with it, it's like, oh, that was really no issues.
Yeah.
But at the time, they're telling me, we're going to take you off oxygen. We're going to cap your trach. You're going to breathe on your own with all your own. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to work, right? It just stressed me out a little bit. But they were really great, and they helped me through. And, you know, the Lord, I just really leaned on the Lord, you know?
Come on.
God, I know you didn't bring me this far through all of this to kill me with a cap on my trach. So
let me say something here. So, folks, let me give you a little background on this guy. He'll give you some more. So you were in the military.
Yeah.
You served in Iraq.
Yeah.
What was that like?
We were the first striker brigade into Iraq in 2003. We crossed the border, I think, 4 December from Kuwait into Iraq. A lot of the hardcore fighting was over.
Yeah.
Most of what was happening now was really, you could call it insurgency.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of IEDs, a lot of ambushes, things like that. You know, we had a few IED attacks that didn't really do anything. Some that were mildly successful, but the Lord had prophesied to us. He said, if you guys would pray, that every one of my men would come home.
Yeah.
And so what happened was people prayed. The church prayed.
That's where you come in.
Yeah.
Because I remember you telling us about these prayers.
Oh, yeah. There was one morning I woke up and I was praying. I opened my eyes upon waking up and out of my mouth were prayers. And I couldn't stop. I knew I had to keep praying. And they just kept coming and coming. And we happened to have Bible study that day. I went to church. And I literally got on my face with this book that we had, praying for him and his men. And just praying for everything I could think of. You know, no weapon formed against them will prosper. Give the commanders and everybody who's making the decisions, give them wisdom, give them insight to what is going on, what's going to be happening. So that specific day, I spent the majority of the day praying, and only to find out when he came home, we were talking, and he said, honey, he said, we were ambushed that day.
Wow.
While we were praying, I had other ladies from the church at Bible study coming right next to me, and we were praying, and he said, we were ambushed.
How many men were you leading?
It was about 180.
180 men.
Yeah.
Not one was lost.
So we had a guy, PFC Adam Harris. He transferred out of my company to HHC Scouts. He got, sniper got him one day.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's hard. You know, it's not easy to think about or to, you know, look back on. And he was a great young man. You know, he went to the scout platoon. It was so unfortunate. Such a bummer. Really impacted all of us.
I would imagine. So, you know, people might be listening thinking, what does this have to do with COVID survival? Mm-hmm. I believe the story that I knew from his military time in Iraq and leading all these men and Shelley praying along with many others, that it parallels what they went through with COVID. And why is that important? Because some of you don't realize that some of the little things that we suffer and go through may not be as big as something like facing terrorists in Iraq, but the little things matter to our ability to build up strength so that we can endure when other battles come our way.
Yeah.
And I look at what these guys have done as a family. They have, how many children did you say you have?
Four.
They've raised four kids. They're on the mission field. They're serving people. They get COVID. But yet the experiences that they've been through in life already, I believe, even prepared them by the grace of God to be able to endure and survive. Looking back on how good God's been, you quoted Psalm 91.
Yeah.
I've said so much that so many people quoted Psalm 91 throughout the entire time of COVID up until now. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High, right? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so it's such a powerful psalm. You know, people like Corrie ten Boom is well known for The Hiding Place. You know, her story of saving Jews from Nazi Germany and even going through the
concentration
camp and surviving, and rest of her family did not. But she did. And we don't understand why everyone survives and why others don't. We're not going to say that we have that all figured out. But what we do understand, friend, is that if we do have a healthy fear of the Lord, there is a promise to us that we will not endure the same struggles as those who do not fear God.
Yeah.
There is a protection for the people of God. There is a presence of the Lord that will be on you. And Raul, I want you to just speak briefly, and Shelley as well, speak briefly to those people who may be suffering right now, enduring some type of hardship, whether it be sickness, disease, or something else that's just causing them to be worried, anxious, stressed out. How can you encourage them today? What do you think they need to know and hear?
One thing that I really stood on, and that I really, you know, one of the verses was waiting on the Lord.
Mm.
And how it's not always the way we want it to come out. It doesn't, you know, end up the way we necessarily wanted it to or as fast as we wanted. But it was just still waiting, just waiting for him.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know, he knows what's the best. He knows what's best for us, what's wow. best for our family. He's still good. He's still a good God, even though we're sick, even though, you know, we can't pay our rent, even though, you know, we don't know what we're eating for dinner. He's still good.
Yeah.
And just really focusing on, God, I'm going to wait on you.
Mm.
I'm going to trust. I trust you. And I love you, and I pour my heart out to you when I would pray for him, and pray for him when he was in Iraq, and praying for him when he was in the hospital. But at the same time, I'm going to wait, because your timing is always perfect. Your timing yeah. is always the best. So I just really had to just wait.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that, you know, I'm looking up Psalm 27:13, mm-hmm. it says, mm-hmm. I would have lost heart mm-hmm. unless, so good,
yeah.
unless I had believed beforehand
right.
that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I hear what you guys are saying. I hope all of our listeners do. It matters what you do with Jesus before
Amen.
So that when hardship, suffering, persecution comes,
yeah.
we respond the way that we should. We talked
Absolutely.
About this the other day.
I think, I just want to say this one thing.
Okay.
I think it's really important to understand. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, in this world you will have tribulation.
Yeah.
But do not fear, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that we need to understand that tribulation is just a part of being a believer.
Yeah.
There's going to be some kind of tribulation. Others will go through things that we think, I don't know how we could endure that. There are folks right now that are enduring life in a war zone as civilians, and they don't know what's going to happen
even
in the next
Ukraine, right?
Exactly,
now.
In the Ukraine. And those believers there that
yeah.
are enduring great hardship, and others that hardship to them is just some, you know, it's not that they're not equal in impact to us,
right?
But there's going to be some form of hardship in our lives. But Jesus says, don't fear. I've
right.
overcome the world.
Fear not.
Fear not.
How many times is that in Scripture, that quote, fear not, whether it be an angel or the Lord himself?
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that we can have peace and joy and victory in all circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, well, that's easier for you to say because you haven't been in all circumstances. That's true. But yeah. here's the issue. I didn't say it. God did.
That's right.
And he knows this situation. Maybe you were not in a situation like war or dealing with death knocking on your door for COVID. But whatever you're enduring today, my friend, I want you to know, we want you to know, you can overcome because Jesus has already overcome the world.
That's right.
There is absolute hope. He's not only our Savior, but he's our healer.
Amen.
He's a miracle worker.
Amen.
He's a faithful God, and he knows exactly where you're at today. You know, as we're coming into for landing here today, at the end of Job, we know that Job suffered so much, loss of his own children, his livelihood, all those things, embarrassment, shame in the community, even his own friends. You know, Job's friends were famous for not speaking life and hope
right.
and comfort. You know, they were prophesying, just hopelessness and depression
yeah, yeah.
and like, it's all you. Friends, I don't understand. I think we do invite things upon ourselves sometimes, but there's a lot that happens just because. And I don't think we're all going to know what those things are until we get to heaven. Or why they happen. But here's the fact of the matter. That at the end of Job's life, he had a greater revelation and depth of understanding of who God was
That's right.
than he did at the beginning of his life.
Yeah.
And God restored everything. In fact, Job 42 verse 5, this is a scripture you shared with me when we had coffee
mm-hmm.
the other day. You said, I have heard you. This is Job speaking. He's speaking to God. He's saying, I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. Wow. I don't think Job was saying that he saw God physically.
Right.
Right.
I think what he's saying is, I saw God in the midst of suffering. Mm-hmm. I understood some things with my ears, and it was in my heart. I had hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But then when the temptation, the trial, the tribulations came, when the enemy squeezed Job, what came out of him was hope. Was peace, was joy. And he went through hardship. Listen, friend, if you're going through hardship and you're like, I don't feel like my emotions are solid, you know, or at peace right now. Listen, neither did Job. We're not saying you got to be perfect through the whole thing. What we're saying is that you keep reminding yourself before the Lord, I'm not going to lose sight of who you are. Listen, we got to close, but how can people follow or contact you guys in your ministry? Where can they reach you at? So I think you gave me an email.
Right.
What's that email?
rns.treks@gmail.com.
And then they can find you guys on Facebook.
On Facebook. Under rns.treks.
Okay. And then if they wanted to give, support your ministry, they would go to fire-international.org/hurtado -Raul.
Right.
Yes.
So we're going to have that information in the description. And we're so grateful for you joining us today. Thank you guys for being with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And we pray that it just blesses you. God bless you. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Revival Cry with Eric Miller. Please subscribe, rate, and write a review for this podcast on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To find out more or partner with our missions work around the world, please visit us at revivalcry.org. I look forward to being with you next week.